Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, how you doing? It's been a long time now, 2 weeks without talking to you.
It's been so long, I basically forgot myself.
Yeah, me too. I'm sorry that... So the reason why we didn't record last week was I wasn't feeling good. I was under the weather. And I just didn't want you guys to have to hear me all, like, you know, sniffly and congested, because I know that's happened in the past. It's just not a good episode that way. And then poor Hartley comes on and tells me that he's congested today. So I'm like, oh, man, we can't skip 2 weeks in a row. So I am sorry that you have to do that. And I appreciate
that's okay.
You sucking
it up. I'll do it for the listeners, you know. I'll suck it up.
Nobody give Hartley a hard time. He's trying for us. Okay.
Yeah, there's normally you they give the hard time to.
I know, because they're like, if you're sick, just don't record. So I listened, and now it's like, I don't know. You know, it's you can't please everyone. But so
it does
that,
please everyone.
What?
Are you WWDC invites.
I was going to say, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, I think we didn't get a chance to talk about this, right? When because it's been a couple of weeks. So WWDC was officially announced. Like it wasn't going to happen, but we all knew it was going to happen. But now we got the dates and we got the little artwork. You know, it's not an invite, but it's got a little artwork. And what's our favorite thing to do, Hartley?
Speculate.
Yes. Overanalyze every little detail. Now, when I did my announcement video, I did the same thing. And I mentioned that, you know, the WWDC was rainbow. I don't think there's anything to take away there, but the 25 being a little frosty and like translucent.
Yes, it's like a 3D glossy texture.
Is that hinting at some of the speculation about iOS 19? And
so the big rumor that we've talked about before with iOS 19 is that it will be a complete redesign, the biggest redesign coming to iOS since iOS 7. And it will take a leaf out of the book of Vision OS, which obviously, because of the nature of a spatial interface, is built around layers and translucency to maintain that immersion. So it's pretty interesting to see that translate to something that actually does not have a spatial quality to it. Mm-hmm. But Apple's experimented with this kind of thing before. Like, do you remember with iOS 7 when they made a big deal of the parallax wallpaper? Yep. And how the app icons would move separately to the wallpaper behind? I think it's still enabled, but it's way less prominent than it was years ago. It was quite cool. Like, if you looked at it for long enough, it starts to look a little bit 3D. So I think it can work 2D. And I think the hint here on the invite, pretty transparently, if you pardon the pun, is that it will be coming to iOS.
What was the macOS old? Is it Tiger? Like, why do I kind of get those vibes? It's like the style of the icons.
Aqua, yeah.
Yeah, like the exactly, the Aqua design. I don't know why I get that a little bit. But like,
it's because it's 3D. It's because it's like an artificial 3D. It's a 2D image trying to convince you that it's 3D, which is the same thing that Aqua did and the same thing that Apple's skeuomorphic design from over a decade ago now really embraced.
Like, if you look up on Google Image Search, just do like, macOS Tiger UI or Aqua look or whatever, you'll see some of the like buttons and the way those were designed. Like, I feel like that's kind of what we're going towards. It's like this like pill, more rounded, and then it's got that translucent frosted like little vibe on each of them. I don't think we're going to go back to, you know, looking like that, but like it might borrow some of those elements and then just kind of
I like
more,
that as a modern take.
Yeah, modern take on that, exactly.
Those sorts of UIs are very resource intensive. But the fact is that the devices now really are powerful enough to do that. And I can see this going quite far. I wonder if in the future, maybe we would utilize things like the iPad's rear-facing camera to understand the backdrop so that your wallpaper can be like a glassy pass-through of whatever your iPad is up against. And even though the device may not literally be a slab of transparent glass, maybe in the future the camera and display technology will be good enough to convince you that it more or less is, other than the bezels, because you're looking through this window to whatever is behind your display, which is more or less what VisionOS does.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see what this could look like. I you know, I love WWDC, and I'm always for getting new features and new designs, but I know a lot of people just want the bugs to be fixed. Do you think that that's going to happen, or are we just going to do the typical Apple thing where we're like, here's a new design, let's just do that instead?
I'd like to believe that Apple will address some of the underlying architectural issues, and sometimes it has tried to do that. Like, say with HomeKit, it introduced a brand new home architecture to be more reliable because they knew that HomeKit was very flaky before that. Now, I think HomeKit has been more reliable for me on that architecture. I don't know about you. So they do acknowledge these issues from time to time. I just don't know if we're ever going to see a year when they say, this year we're going to just focus on efficiency, bug fixes. I think they know that people want the shiny new thing. Talking to Mark Gurman a fortnight ago, he suggested to us that Apple is really focused on delivering those features to the mass market that wants those changes, that wants those exciting new features that they're rushing to download the beta software to obtain. So I'd like to think so, but probably not.
Oh, here we go.
This is the standard.
This is the time in the episode where everyone's like, why did Dan disappear for a minute and why do we have Hartley full screen? Yeah, I'm going to do that. And in the meantime, Hartley, you can tell us a little more about this iOS 19 health coach rumors, because I'm very intrigued by this latest report from Gurman.
So the reason why I thought we should talk about this is because we've actually said for a long time just how much we want this kind of feature. What we have been discussing for years, I feel like at this point, is something that extrapolates all of this health data that the iPhone has been gathering for so long, and ultimately your Apple Watch is feeding it now, and even now Beats earbuds are feeding that heart rate data in. And if you have things like a blood pressure monitor, smart scales, you can get all of that fed into the health app. But what do you actually do with it once it's there? It's okay for checking your blood pressure or how many steps you've done, but there isn't really anything that gathers all this data together and reaches any conclusions. Whereas third-party apps like the app that you get with the Aura Ring does do that. It does provide you with some, at least some simple health coaching to tell you maybe you should drink less caffeine and go to bed earlier, or these are the kinds of things that it could do. And even, to be honest, a basic chatbot right now, something like ChatGPT, right, if you were to say to it, I'm burning this many calories a day, I'm having this, my blood pressure, here's some symptoms I'm having, it would be able to spit out a response with some advice. And what better place is there for that kind of feature than actually in the health app? Apple's really leaned into health over the past decade, mainly through the Apple Watch, but it hasn't really done anything with that data. Think of things like blood oxygen monitoring, ECG. What do you really do with that stuff? It needs something that can go a bit further. And I think this feature now, which is rumored to come, weirdly, as part of iOS 19.4 specifically.
19.4?
Yeah. So it won't come in the first version of iOS 19. But I guess because it's an Apple Intelligence AI feature, they need to deliver the other AI features first. So this is just the next one in the queue.
Okay.
But what do you think about this? Because we've discussed this for so long.
I really like it. I think it's, you know, reminiscent of like, I don't know how your doctors are out there, but over here you go to visit a doctor, you get a diagnosis, you do get some follow-up information. And lately, my doctors have been sending us like this very specific tool that they have that just basically gives you videos related to kind of what's your issue. And I like that that's part of this whole thing, is that like it's a coach that's going to help you with some of these and be like, hey, you might have, you know, something going on with your heart, and you should probably get that looked at or start making some improvements. Here are the improvements that you can make. Here are some of the explanations and like what you need to know about heart disease and the risks. Like, that's really interesting to me. And I just feel like it's probably a little bit easier to read some of that stuff if it's being delivered to you and kind of a little more invasive than, you know, getting an email where you have to log into a portal for your doctor and then go to another website. Like, there's so many steps. Not saying that that's not important. I mean, it's your health. You should definitely take it seriously. But I just feel like, you know, we're human. We often overlook these things and we just kind of forget about it, or, you know, but when it's being jammed down your throat, I don't know if you want that. But for me personally, if it's something related to my own specific health and there might be something wrong, I would appreciate more and more information coming from the health app with, you know, useful tips and things to do.
And crucially, the health app gathers so much data. I mean, I've just opened my health app here and I've got information about, and this is all just gathered in the background. This isn't stuff I've manually input. Time in daylight, I've got medications, I've got body mass index, I've got cardio fitness, blood oxygen, stand minutes. I've even got toothbrushing, and all of this is just gathered in the background.
How do you have teeth? You have a special toothbrush?
Yeah, I have a Bluetooth toothbrush.
Nice.
I mean, it's not particularly useful, but this stuff is just gathered in the background. And a doctor is not going to look through this and reach conclusions for me, but an AI service that can work out correlations here and can say to me, mornings when you got daylight early in the day, you are more active in the afternoon. That's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's that kind of stuff that you can use to build routines, particularly with dietary information. So one of the rumors from this report is that Apple is looking to rival some of the meal tracking and calorie tracking apps that are quite important, especially if you're going to the gym a lot, you're trying to watch your caloric intake, either to put weight on or lose weight.
Right. And
Apple Health does have loads of nutritional input that you can put in, but you have to put it in either through a third-party app or manually, which is a complete nightmare. You would never do it manually, not unless you were tracking one specific thing and you knew the exact amounts. But that's really valuable, because if you can see something like your caffeine intake affecting your heart, that's incredibly powerful.
Absolutely.
And I don't think the third-party apps are that great. So I would quite like the ability to say to Siri, I'm having a large coffee right now, so just log that. Or this is what I'm eating. And use visual intelligence, say, to take a picture of what you're eating and then...
I was just going to say that. So... you know, there's an app that I say not all of them are great, but some of the food tracking ones are pretty good. And there is one, I want to try to find it because I think people might be interested in this. It uses AI, so that's their big AI thing, and you take a picture of what you're eating, and it does a really good job of like, hey, you've got chicken, rice, broccoli, and it looks like you have about this amount, and I'm going to log this for you. And like, even some like, things that are very much mixed together, it does a really good job of pulling it all out. And that would be great if that was a visual intelligence thing. That would make visual intelligence pretty useful. What do you think?
I agree. I think that that's the issue with visual intelligence right now. It just isn't useful enough. It's pretty cool that you can point it at a plant and it will identify what that plant is immediately. I suppose if I point it at a letter that I receive in the mail on the very rare occasions that still happens, and I can add something to my calendar from that, maybe. That stuff is useful, but there's just not enough functionality in there. And the place that visual intelligence needs to get to is that anything that you need to capture, you can use that. And meal tracking seems to be a really obvious place. But even just with Siri, I just want to be able to say it to Siri, oh, I'm having like 200 grams of cereal right now. Just log that. And it just does it in an instant.
Yeah. By the way, the app was called MyNet Diary. Not, you know, that's just, I don't know how I found it. It's relatively cheap, I think, to get. Of course, you have to pay for that AI feature. But I think it's pretty good. If you don't want to sit there and just log everything manually, I think that's a really good way. But yeah, I would absolutely be all on board for making Siri more useful that way, making visual intelligence more useful. I think this is a great p- potential if it happens. Hopefully it doesn't get delayed. But is there anything else from the WWDC standpoint? We haven't really like talked about whether or not there's going to be any iPad, or have we heard anything like that? iPadOS specific things that are not already correlated with that, or like Mac OS.
iPadOS has been pretty stagnant for the past few years. The last major feature we got was Stage Manager. Mm-hmm. And they have made some improvements with desktop class apps. And obviously we do have now Pro apps as well, with Logic Pro and Final Cut Pro on the iPad. But I don't know if there's anything really specific that we're going to be expecting. And if there was going to be a major iPad-specific update, I feel like we might know about it by now. For this year, I think the biggest things from WWDC will be the redesign, because it is apparently coming to both iPadOS and macOS, as well as iOS. I wouldn't be surprised if we also see these design elements coming to tvOS and also to watchOS, so it's complete parity across all of Apple's devices with screens, at least. And then Apple Intelligence delivery and maybe some additional features like this with the health app. But I don't know if Apple's even going to be thinking about rethinking the iPad right now.
Yeah.
I think they've got a lot on their plate.
Do we have any specifics for macOS at all either? Or is it just going to be more of the same design elements?
And the other difference nowadays as well is that features that Apple brings to iOS, it brings to all of its platforms.
Right,
and so when they announce all of these things at WWDC, although they announce some in like an iPad segment and then they announce some in a macOS segment, actually these features come to every device. So for example, they talked about like math notes in the iPad section last year. But that is available across all devices. They just chose the device that makes the most sense to talk about that with.
Well, because you have the Apple Pencil integration with it. So
but it is available on everything.
Sure. You just probably would use it more maybe with the iPad is what they're thinking, I'm guessing. I mean, that makes total sense.
It does make sense to bring feature parity, because years ago it was really annoying when you'd get a cool feature on the iPhone, but then not on anything else. And that still does exist with some things. I mean, think about the Journal app. That's really frustrating that that's not on the Mac or the iPad. I would love to use that if it was on the Mac or the iPad.
I still don't understand why that's taking so long. Even if they just ported over an iPhone version, I mean, that's fine. Like, we don't need, do you need anything crazy? If you don't have time to make a full one, at least give people the ability to easily do it.
It's very strange, but that's why where Apple does do this, and doesn't specialize its features particularly, I quite like that. It's the least frustrating outcome. And it does make sense that when you have an ecosystem of devices that works together, you want that experience to be able to just pick up your iPad and wherever your iPhone is left off and jump into your Mac with whatever specific feature that may be. It would be good to see like visual intelligence coming to the iPad. It's not very useful on the iPhone right now, but this is the point we need to get to where everything just kind of blends together. It wouldn't surprise me if eventually, maybe 5 years from now, WWDC is just a list of features and they just come to everything. It feels like we're nearly at that point. Yeah.
They're not breaking it out into groups anymore. Yeah, it's like, just like
one feature they break it out. It's, oh, we're showing you, we're demoing this to you on an iPad. Then we're demoing this to you on a Mac. But it's all kind of the same thing. Everything has converged a lot. Years ago, people were worried that the Mac was disappearing and that everything was going to run iPadOS. And that clearly isn't the future that we've got. But there has been a convergence. I mean, even think about the fact that we were stuck on macOS 10 for ages. And now the numbers go up every year, regardless of how big of an update that is. And there clearly is an effort to bring everything together in terms of design and experience.
I miss the macOS 10 days, though. I don't know. You were probably, what, 7 when Tiger came out?
Probably,
right?
I don't know, yeah.
Did you ever use it?
Probably not.
Oh, man. That was when I first started using the Macs, like, a Mac a lot, because I was in high school.
It was it's the OS, like, those Aqua OSs are what I remember from when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, probably when you were in school, you probably had a shared Mac or something. Back in my day, if I could do that for you real quick, we had those colorful iMacs, those big ones. That was like when I was in elementary school, that was what we used. And we played, Fraction Munchers. What a game. Way to learn.
I think I remember that. I think I'm
such
that.
A good game. Yeah, it was so. It's. So, I would play it now.
Bring back Fraction Munchers.
I need to brush up
that
on my fractions.
That needs to be the new Apple Arcade release.
Hell yeah, Fraction Munchers. I think Oregon Trail is still a game you can play, or at least find. But you, have you ever heard of that one?
This is the secret to Apple Arcade's success. This is why Apple Arcade has been stagnated.
Nostalgia.
It's these key games.
Yeah.
If they're on there, everyone would subscribe. Every iPhone user, they'll pay their $4 a month.
Well, maybe just people my age and a couple of, you know, yours that were very into this stuff back then. But like,
I disagree with you, Dan. I think everyone needs Fraction Munchers in their
Fraction
life.
Munchers?
Yeah.
Fraction Munchers and Oregon Trail. Have you ever played Oregon Trail?
No.
That was a fun time. I mean, that's a very specific American game since the Oregon Trail is obviously, you know. But anyways, speaking of new features that you can try right now, we had the 0.4 updates for everything happen this past Tuesday or Monday. Monday. Came out Monday. How you liking iOS 18.4? There were like some decent things packed in there. I don't know that it was a major update, but there was quite a bit to talk about. Some of the bigger ones include we get priority notifications. I still don't know if I know exactly what priority notifications means because I don't know where they're pulling from. I'm sure they've mentioned this, but in my mind I feel like I'm not getting very many where I think so. Like one of the things I've noticed, obviously, if you're sending a text and you say like ASAP or you mention a date or something, like obviously it pulls that up and it's like, hey, you should probably check this one because this person asked you a question and they want an answer like right now. But have you gotten any priority notifications from like non-time related things, like no calendar or
messages? It's been good for me. I actually really like the feature.
Okay.
I think it's possibly one of the best Apple Intelligence features so far.
Go on, tell me more.
So I really like the way that it surfaces these notifications above everything else. They are highlighted by the way that they are outlined. Because right now your notifications pretty much do just appear in chronological order. Mm-hmm. And that means stuff can be pretty easily buried, especially if you're in a lot of group chats that you don't have silenced. You get a lot of messages, a lot of emails. And it is pretty useful that if someone asks you a direct question, it goes right up there at the top. And it understands that that's something that you should respond to soon. I don't know how effective it really is. Is it understanding who I'm messaging most often and therefore it understands that's a higher priority person to me? Or is it literally just reading it and determining that this sounds high priority, so it probably is? I'm guessing it's the latter.
Maybe a little bit of both.
I really like it. I really like it. I think it's really well designed.
I know it's only been a few days.
It's not on by default, though, which is interesting.
Well, right. So I was going to say, I just turned it on right now. But I've had it on my test device that's had a beta for months. But and so I've seen it there and we've tested it, but like I have not actually used it yet. It's only been a few days. Have you noticed it from like another app that you were like, oh, that was cool? Like, I don't know how it figured out that I would have wanted that up there. Or has it been pretty standard stuff that makes sense?
It's mainly been messages. I don't think I've actually had anything that wasn't messages. I think I've had emails too, but that's it. But to be honest, like, I don't think I've got anything super high priority coming in from anything that isn't a message or an email.
Right. So I mean, you can have it. Kind of makes you can sense. Turn them off for all the other
that's
apps.
That's true.
But like, what I'm like thinking, why would I do that? Wouldn't I want to have the priority notifications?
I guess
for everything?
That only exists for if something kept coming through that was wrong, that was annoying you.
Oh, okay.
Then I guess you could disable it and tell it to stop doing that. But I think it's a great feature.
Yeah. I mean, no hate. I just haven't had enough time to use it on my own personal device. But I know that it works well when you blatantly try to trigger it. We've never not had it work, which is good. But I just haven't seen it pop up on any other apps on my test device. Like that. Like, oh, that was cool that it figured out that, you know, I don't know, there's a... I don't even know what it would be, like a game starting or something. I guess a game from a team that I like is starting, I do kind of get that already from like the sports app and stuff. So I don't know. Anyways, so there was priority notifications. Go toggle that on if you're curious of trying that. It does look really cool too with the whole Siri like glow around it. I think that's visually a very nice touch. The AirPods Max, only for USB-C though, correct? Only if you have the USB-C version.
Yes.
Oh, Apple. So, yeah, that one got a pretty nice update. You got a couple of new features. Would you care to kind of tell everyone what those are?
So now you get lossless audio when you use a USB-C cable. So it's the C2C cable that comes in the box. You also get lossless personalized audio. So that's slightly different. So you get personalized spatial audio with like AirPods Pro, but that isn't lossless. So this is now the only device where you can get that. I guess unless you're using Vision Pro, because then you can use AirPods Pro with lossless.
Yeah.
Weirdly, because of the distance and the gigahertz that it is attuned to. But you also get low latency when it's wired. So if you work in music production, that's really useful. And you can create personalized spatial audio mixes as well with AirPods Max now. So for production purposes, they are actually now more useful.
The low latency is... Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all really useful. And it's kind of a mixture of two things, because the Lightning AirPods Max did have reduced latency when you plugged them in. And the audio quality was somewhat better over a wired connection. The difference is that this is theoretically true lossless, but because it's converting a digital, or rather an analog signal to a digital one, or it's trying to convert... analog, it's trying to convert digital to analog. There's something going on with that. I can't remember which way around it is. It is not actually lossless. It's just better than not lossless.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
I don't think I'd be able to tell the difference.
I was going to say, I just would love to have like a test. Maybe one day I'll do a video and just like do a man on the street type thing and just try to pull random people in. And then maybe find like a couple of producers and see if they can determine, you know, figure it out. But anyways,
it also depends on the song, right? It depends how it's mixed. But the key thing with this update is, before this, if you had USB-C AirPods Max and maybe you replaced your Lightning ones, this was a downgrade because you could not plug them in. So if you were to use them on a flight to plug into the in-flight infotainment system, or you wanted to plug it into like an iPod,
yeah,
because you have a collection of like old devices or whatever you may want to do, you could not do that with the USB-C model. So this brings them up to parity with the Lightning models, and they've released this new cable.
I was gonna say, now you have
to facilitate that,
the 3.5 millimeter cable.
Yeah, but it does go further than the Lightning ones, because you get this better audio quality, you get lossless with personalized audio, and also what they call officially like ultra low latency and creating spatial audio mixes. So if you needed a reason to upgrade to the USB-C AirPods Max, which I kind of do, it is a reason. Now, whether it's a good reason is another question.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I would feel pretty stupid upgrading my Lightning AirPods Max to USB-C for literally the same thing, because it's the same hardware just with a different port. Now I'll still feel silly, but I can say
you have a point. There's a little bit there of a
is
point some,
there is more that is different than just the port. There are a couple of other tiny, tiny little features.
Well, I am one of those people who have both, and so I did test the latency, because I do use that a lot for if I'm editing. Because that is incredibly important. If you try to do it with the Bluetooth connection, it's not good.
Oh, yeah. Like, I bet the outcome of like the video you get in the end is all messed up.
It's just like, well, it's like for me, you know, a lot of editing is stopping and starting the clips. And like, you know, when I hit stop with the space bar, like I'm not actually what I'm hearing is the stop is not actually the stop of where it is on the timeline. And I know that doesn't sound like that would be a big deal, but that is a huge deal, because you're like, all right, I can't stop it and hit cut because it actually didn't stop in the right spot. It just perceived that way with the latency. So like, I don't actually know where it is in the, so you have to like back up a couple of frames. Usually that is a pain in the butt. So I have been using that plugged in, and I wanted to test the difference. And you can actually, there is quite a difference between the Lightning one and the USB-C with the latency, I think, or maybe I'm just, it's a placebo thing, but I feel like it's pretty good. Definitely a little bit of a step up there with that. Audio, though, I don't know that I could tell you. Yeah, I'd like to think I could, but I might not be able to be honest with you. So, but that is, that's a reason if you're thinking about getting it. I would love an actual big change to the AirPods Max here in the future.
Yeah, but me too. I don't think we're going to get one for...
I don't think so either.
Probably at least 2 years, but I don't know. They've kind of... The AirPods Max have grown on me. And the reason for that is because my AirPods Pro, that's why I use these wired earbuds now. My AirPods Pro are basically completely broken. They are almost completely not functional now at all. But because it's so close to the new AirPods Pro coming out, I lean very heavily on the AirPods Max. And being pushed to do that has actually made me quite used to their weights and fits now. So they're not very comfortable and they are heavy, but I'm kind of at peace with it. Mm-hmm. The bigger issue is the canopy collapsing and the smart case. But like the actual fit and comfort with them, I've kind of got more used to.
Yeah, I agree.
I also need the blue ones because the blue is nicer than the white because the white gets all kind of gunky and horrible.
I went with the Starlight, right?
Yeah, but the Starlight isn't pure white, so they don't get kind of...
Yeah, I like
weird.
It.
Like,
I
like the yellow, they like the white ones I have got yellowed because they're 5 years old.
Okay.
But the blue ones wouldn't do that. And the Starlight ones are already kind of yellow. So I'm pretty sure this was an intentional design decision.
The black ones, I don't know if they call those, what, navy? I had space black before. Yeah.
It's like a denim blue. They look quite nice.
Apple and colors. Let's not dive into that. Anyways, there's one other thing with 18.4 that's probably worth mentioning. Actually, there's two, but one is the Apple News Plus food.
I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, so I like it. I'm just worried that it's going to be one of those things that I'm going to forget is there.
Yes, this is the issue.
Yeah.
It's a really nice feature.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to use, but it's just buried in there.
it's multiple taps away in an app that probably most people don't go into anyways.
Even like an Apple News Plus subscriber, because they get it through Apple One, probably wouldn't even know this was there. This should have been a standalone app. This should have been a recipes app. If there can be an invites app separate to the calendar app, there can absolutely be a recipes app separate to the news app, because you don't associate recipes with news. I understand it's part of magazines and stuff that's published because you may follow like a food magazine or a food website. Right. But then let me send it from the news app to the recipes app and keep it as a catalog. It may even have made more sense in the books app than it does in Apple News.
Ooh, let's not talk about the books app right now. I feel like that's a little under fire. it's visually, it's fantastic. You get a lot of good options, and obviously more will come. It's going through and kind of curating all of the best, you know, if you need some inspiration for meals and like what you might want to make. And then, of course, you've got cook mode, so you can enter into that mode, and it gives you the step-by-step. It gets away of all the other distractions that could be there. It's like so much better. Like, you just need to remember, like, how often do I make, well, you don't know the answer to this question, but I'll tell you the amount of times I make breakfast for my family that's like pancakes or French toast or something, and I forget the quantities of like making the batter by, you know, from scratch. So I'm looking it up online, right? You just do a Google search, pancakes recipe. How many times do I need to go and through the horrible list of like the story on how this recipe came to be from, you know, the 1850s at their grandma's farm. Like, I don't care about the story. Get me to the damn list of everything that's there. And then what it... So this just cuts all of that out. So that's why, number one, it's fantastic. Another thing that Apple needs to do now is not just introduce this and then leave it alone and never talk about it again. Make AI useful. Visual intelligence. We just talked about this. How great would it be if I could open up my fridge, snap a picture of the fridge, visual intelligence analyzes everything that's in there, and then it sends it to the whatever you want, the News Plus food section, and says, here's the list of ingredients that you have, and here's a bunch of options of like what you can make with what you have in your fridge. Like, I know there are apps that do that now. Let's start taking those ideas and building it in first party.
And it's a good feature. Don't tuck it away. Put this a little bit more front and center.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I like the news app. I just often forget to go in there. And like, I think if you could like incorporate more feeds of different things, it would be cool. I know you can kind of basically treat it as an RSS a little bit, but
it's not quite the same experience.
It's not quite the same. Like, if I wanted to add, like, unfortunately, Twitter and stuff, like, I don't think it does that. I don't know. Actually, I never looked into it, to be honest with you, but I'm guessing it doesn't. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm worried that it's going to get tucked away like everything else. So hopefully they build upon that, because I think it could be very useful. And then the other thing was ambient music. That's a weird one, because that one's tucked away from the start, and I don't quite understand why. Like, can you?
I haven't had much of a chance to test that out.
Okay.
I don't really know why it is. It's strange when Apple does this sometimes, when they introduce a really good feature, but mm-hmm. then it's just hidden away, and then they forget about it, never iterate on it, and then it just fades into obscurity.
Yeah.
But I mean, people quite like the ambient features on the iPhone. Like, the ambient sounds are pretty good. Particularly if you say you like noise cancelling headphones, but you don't like just dead silence, is a nice thing in the background. So I guess ambient music's kind of along those lines.
So what ambient music should be is just a section in the music app, which it kind of is, but you can't get to it without, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have to add it to Control Center, and then you can select which category you want, and there's basically like a lo-fi section, so you can just have constant lo-fi music happening in the background if you wanted to, just very chill, you know, just something that's not super distracting, but it's not dead silent. And you can activate that from the Control Center, but you still can't really do anything else unless you either have a phone with Dynamic Island, or you go back into Control Center and you go to the Now Playing and you tap on what's playing, and then it opens up into like a music vibe, and you could kind of skip around, but not really.
Yeah.
It's a strange experience. So if this was just a section in the music app, and then you could have still had Control Center toggles for it, that would solve that. I don't quite understand.
Yeah, I'm
like, what if I wanted
this
while I'm driving? What if I wanted this while I was driving? Can you ask Siri to do it, I guess? And would it just open up in the Now Playing and CarPlay? I haven't tried it.
I mean, assuming that involves Siri, I'm going to say definitely not.
Okay.
But it should.
Because Siri's just not going to do it. It's like, nah, I mean, I can, but I'm not going to.
Exactly. So I actually should try it out. I feel like maybe tomorrow when I sit down at my desk to do some work, I'll put on the productivity ambient music and just see how I feel about it.
Maybe I'll give it a shot.
I just hope it's not too repetitious.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know. There are times where I love to listen to music while I'm working, but like some of the things that I listen to are a little loud and distracting and yelly. So it's like, I'm trying to write, you know, usually that's the only time I can listen to music is if I'm writing a script. It is really hard to like have lyrics being yelled at you and focus at the same time. It does not work well. So I think I need something a little more chill, and I don't know where to even go with that. So just having this option that it just kind of does it for you is nice, but I don't know. I feel like this is another one that most people aren't going to know that it's there unless it's heavily advertised.
Yeah, I agree.
Or they're going to forget to do it. So strange behavior from Apple. I would love clarification on that, but yeah, that is 18.4. And then the last thing, just briefly touch on, was that some news came out about the haptic buttons are not dead. So if you guys remember, the iPhone, was it supposed to be the 15 that
it was the 15 Pro? 15 yeah,
Pro, yeah, it's supposed to have haptic volume up and down buttons instead of physical buttons, and that did not happen. But it didn't happen again on the 16.
Yeah, it was rumored for the 16. That was the rumor, that it got delayed from the 15 to the 16.
Now, is it going to happen on the 17, or are we looking at the 18 now?
I mean, this report didn't say. So we've not heard it rumored for the 17. I would guess that it is not going to come on that.
Yeah, same here.
But the interesting thing is that it's still being worked on, which I guess makes sense. So we've seen prototype units of these buttons on an iPhone 14 Pro. They were very, very widely rumored for the iPhone 15 Pro. This was not a little rumor that just came out once. We heard this over and over and over. We've seen pictures of it. We've seen prototypes. We understand how it was supposed to work. We understand that there were supposed to be more taptic engines. We understand the user experience, that you could press light to invoke different features to pressing heavily. We even understand that the buttons were meant to look different, like a continuous rocker. And then it was delayed to the iPhone 16 Pro, and then that was cancelled fairly early. It was cancelled late for the 15 Pro and early for the 16 Pro. But considering they got so far with developing this project, it's understandable that one day it's going to come back, especially as the iPhone becomes more refined and they need some new features. I think that probably it makes sense, considering that you could customize it to do whatever you want to do. And get multiple different responses. Like, what if a heavy press controls brightness and a light press controls volume? That's better.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's going to have some downsides, but also it's good for Apple from the perspective of repairs, because plenty of people do have issues with buttons. Not usually in the first few years of a device's life, but when you've had a device for 4 years, 5 years, those buttons do have mechanical problems. But Apple can diagnose those far better if the button does not physically move. It's all internal.
Now, isn't camera control kind of a haptic thing?
So
it's like a hybrid, right?
Yeah, so the button itself is mechanical, but it gives you haptic feedback when you touch the capacitive layer. So there are not, it's not a haptic button. But
it's kind of a nice little blend.
It's got a touch sensitive quality to it.
And how annoyed are we sometimes with that, is my question?
Quite annoyed.
Okay, so now what I'm getting at is that I feel like people are going to be really annoyed more than we think with full-on haptic buttons on the iPhone. But, you know, I'm keeping an open mind. I don't care. I really don't. That's honestly where I'm at. I don't really care.
I don't care.
I don't really care what happens to the buttons. That is the least of my concerns, to be honest with you. I guess it'll make for a nice design. I don't love that it's going to be kind of harder to find it, I guess. Like, you kind of know where the buttons are because they're sticking out. But I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine. But, yeah, that's kind of it. By the way, during this thing, I did get a priority notification from a third-party email app. So that's new. New for me, at least, because I just turned it on. But, yeah, love to hear from everyone how you're kind of getting along with 18.4, if you're digging any of these new features. Is it the first time that you've ever heard of these new features because Apple buried them all? Please let us know in the comments or hit us up. And next week, we should have a special guest. You probably won't want to miss this. Hopefully, we don't have to do any rescheduling or anything like that. People live very busy lives, though. So I'm
Is that next week?
No. Sorry. I don't know what day of the...
Two weeks.
In 2 weeks. Next week, you just get us. Or maybe we find somebody random. I don't know.
Maybe you're the special guest.
No. Maybe you're the special guest with less congestion. Now with 50% less congestion. Let's hope with that.
I agree. That's what we need to aim for.
In 2 weeks, we should have a special guest. So
yes.
Skip next week. Come back in two... No, I'm just kidding. listen next week and we'll catch you all then.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.